Well, one of the highlights of my week is sitting down with our wonderful independent booksellers each week to discuss some great reads that they want to share with Roundtable listeners. It is a thrill to talk to them about all of these great books. Lily Bartels is here. She's book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York, and is here to tell us about all the cool things that have come across her desk over the past couple of weeks. And it's a great pleasure to welcome her back to this program this morning. Good morning, Lily. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm great. Nice to be back.
Very nice to have you back. You have a wonderful list. It is chock full of cool stuff. So where would you like to begin?
Well, as you know, publishers tend to release all of their big books on Tuesday. So today has been an embarrassment of riches. So I want to start actually with a book that I read and just loved and want to proselytize about, and that is a novel called The Guest Book by Sarah Blake. You may recall that some years ago she had a very successful, popular, well-received novel called The Postmistress. This new story is, I can't overstate how staggeringly good I find this book. I think it is a real tour de force of gorgeous writing, rich plotting, well-developed characters, and a really gripping story. So the book chronicles three generations of this Milton family, who are these privileged American blue bloods with the Mayflower somewhere in their past, based in New York City, but they also own a private island off the coast of Maine, and that's where a lot of the action takes place during the various summers. And this follows almost 100 years of their family history. It moves back and forth in time, unfolding several storylines in different voices from various members of the family. And it starts with the matriarch and patriarch Ogden and Kitty Milton, who marry in the early 30s. They're living the life of the, you know, it's the social creme de la creme and just very privileged lives. But early on in their life together, each of them makes a choice that is based on a terrible error in judgment, and the consequences of that will have tragic impacts that will reverberate down through the generations of their family. So you can expect to find like death and losses that are shrouded in secrecy. There's thwarted love. And most of all, there is a very dark and disturbing secret at the heart of their wealth and how they acquired it. So thematically, the story deals with, you know, the effects of silence and secrecy within families. Also how wealth and privilege, you know, no different from now, that those control access to power. But much of what transpires within this family that's, you know, that's tragic is either related to or caused by this family's attitudes, which were pretty prevalent of the time and of that social class toward toward people who are not them. So in other words, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, there's a lot of racial bigotry. And those themes, of course, very resonant today, those themes will be corrosive within this family. I found it like really emotionally powerful, and I want to say that it would be an excellent choice for a book club. There is a lot to unpack here. There are a lot of ideas to discuss. There's a lot to, I would say, argue about. But above all, I would say this is a not-to-be-missed story. It's just a marvel of storytelling.
Sarah Blake is the author. The name of the new novel is The Guest Book. And again, we'll have our list on our website, and you can also find it at the Open Door, and we'll give you that information at the end of the program. All right.
Next up is Save Me the Plums by Ruth Reichel. We know Ruth Reichel as a food writer and a very revered restaurant critic. She worked for the Times, New York Times, for a long time, and she's written several other memoirs, but this memoir has to do particularly with her tenure as the editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine. So she was tapped by the publisher Cy Newhouse back in 1999 when she was 51. He offered her this position, and she had grown up reading Gourmet, and of course it had influenced her greatly in her ideas about food and cooking. So he gave her permission to revamp this magazine, which had become a little bit staid, a little bit stodgy, and to bring it up to date and to more or less re-envision it. So, of course, this opportunity was exhilarating for her, but also terrifying because she had no magazine experience, she had no managerial experience, and now she would have a staff of 60 people. But as it turns out, as she says, anytime something scares me, I know it's good. So under her tenure, this magazine did become revitalized, modern, edgy, and also that it helped to create something of a revolution in the way that people think about food and the place, the impact of food in our lives. And it just happened to coincide with that period in the 90s when food and restaurants started becoming cultural touchstones, and the whole farm to table movement was you know, coming onto the fore. So if you've read Ruth Reichl, you'll know that her tone is, you can expect this book to be a fun read. It's gossipy, it's engaging, it's a real behind-the-scenes look at publishing and the very many interesting characters that she interacted with. She has just a wonderful writing style that just makes it an absolutely delightful reading experience.
Just terrific. It's Ruth Reichl, and the book is Save Me the Plums. All right, next up.
Next up, we're going to get a little darker, and that's this remarkable book called Last Stone by Mark Bowden. Subtitle is A Masterpiece of Criminal Interrogation. So this is a pretty remarkable story about the solving of a cold case crime that took place in 1975, at which time these two young sisters, 112, 110, disappeared from a shopping mall in a D.C. suburb and were never seen again. And then fast forward to 2013, where this detective named Chris Homrock comes across this sort of hidden away witness statement that was taken at the time of the crime from a young boy named Lloyd Welch, who, as a teenager, he claimed to have seen these girls talking to a man who then led them from the mall. But for some reason, his testimony was dismissed as he was characterized as a liar, and these documents were set aside never to see the light of day again until Chris Homrock brought them back into the light in 2013. And subsequent to that, he and some other detectives tracked down Lloyd Welch, who by this time was serving a prison term in Delaware for having sexually abused a minor some years before. And so they wanted to interrogate him because they thought that he could give them additional information that would help to further bolster the case that they had been making about the prime suspect in this very old crime. But as it turns out, in the, I think it was 10 hours of interrogation that they did with Lloyd Welch, his story was so contradictory and the facts kept shifting and his recounting of his experience kept changing. And so predictably, Lloyd Welch becomes the prime suspect in this crime. Now, Mark Bowden had covered this story back in 75 when he was a young reporter. It had never left his mind. So when he heard about how this case was being reevaluated, he then decided to write a book about the actual interrogation of Lloyd Welch. And what he actually delivers in this book is sort of a master study of criminal psychology and the way some very, very smart and astute detectives pulled out from Lloyd Welch the information that they needed to solve this case. If you have followed A Making of a Murderer on Netflix or yes, followed the Serial podcast, you will want to read this book. But I also want to say that even if you've never read true crime, and even if you feel like it's not for you, give this book a chance. It's a really intelligent page-turner, and it will have you on the edge of your seat.
Mark Bowden is the author. The name of the book is The Last Stone. Next up.
Another novel just out today, Cape May by Chip Cheek. In this story, you have these newlyweds, Henry and Effie, who have gotten married a few weeks after their high school graduation in their small town, Georgia, hometown. And it's the 1950s. And they've gone on a honeymoon to Cape May, where Effie's uncle owns a home. Well, it's the off season. There's little to do. They're kind of bored. They're considering going home early when they notice some lights on in a house down the street of otherwise shuttered up, you know, houses for the off season. They decide to stop by, and the woman who opens the door turns out to be someone Effie had known as a friend of her cousin. She invites them in, and very quickly the gin begins to flow. Dinner is served, and in pours this kind of disparate gang of people, beatniks, older men dressed in tuxes, Coast Guard cadets, and before long, the party is in full swing. What happens subsequent to that is Effie and Henry decide to stay in Cape May, and they are gradually, how do I put it, they become seduced by this sort of decadent, sexy, cosmopolitan crowd. And the seduction is such that it leads them down this kind of dark rabbit hole that will have long-lasting impact on their lives. And we see that because the book will ultimately take us through what happens in the rest of their lives that this whole scenario has impacted. It is a propulsive read. It is unsettling. There's a lot of psychological suspense.
Yep.
It's very steamy. So if that's not your jam, don't pick up this book.
All right.
But it has a lot to say about desire and morality. And again, a great study for a book group.
Cape May is the name of the book, with an author with a terrific name,
Chip Cheek.
How can you not remember that? All right. We have 3 minutes and two books.
I'm going to say very briefly, The Flight Portfolio, also out today by Julie Oringer, who wrote The Invisible Bridge, which was an extraordinarily successful novel some years back. In this book, she takes us back to occupied Europe. It's a historical novel based on the true story of a man named Varian Fry, who was a journalist, and his extraordinary attempt to save the work and lives of Jewish artists who were fleeing the Holocaust. In 1940, as a representative of this group called the Emergency Rescue Committee, he traveled to Marseille, where he had to make increasingly high stakes and complex decisions about who and what to rescue. And as you can imagine, that was kind of a torturous process for him. What's great about Julie Oringer's writing is how seamlessly she is able to blend real facts, real history, and real characters, some of them whose names you will recognize, with imagined scenarios and invented characters, and make a really, I can't say enough about Julie Oringer's writing. She is one in a million, and she's just extraordinary, and this book is well worth your time.
The Flight Portfolio, Julie Oringer. All right, finally.
Let's end on a light note. So if you read The New Yorker, then you are certainly familiar with the cartoons of Roz Chast, my favorite cartoonist.
She's the best.
And also Patricia Marks, who also writes for The New Yorker. And the two of them have collaborated in the past on books that have text by Patricia Marks and cartoons, hilarious cartoons by Roz Chast. This little book is called Why Don't You Write My Elegy Now So I Can Correct It? Subtitle, A Mother's Suggestions. So these are indeed all of the little witticisms and pronouncements and proclamations that Patricia Marks's mother has made over the years, as brought to life by Roz Chast's hilarious cartoons. And just very briefly, some of what Patricia Marks's mother has to say is, humming is hostile. And Nature, if seen at all, is best seen from a car.
Humming is hostile. Okay.
And then avoid sleeves that have names unless you are in a theatrical production. So you get the gist. I want to put in a word for this as an excellent Mother's Day gift, which, of course, is coming up this
yes.
weekend.
Nothing says I love you to mom quite like a book about her eulogy. Why don't you write my eulogy now so I can correct it? Patricia Marks and Roz Chastity. So you have one book there left.
I'll speak very quickly about this. Our children's book buyer, Kathleen, told me I must talk about this. It is a wonderful picture book that can also be appreciated by adults that came out today, and it's called The Sad Little Fact. And it truly speaks to our times. And it is, in fact, about this sad little fact who's embodied in this little fuzzy sphere with a blue dot with big eyes. And as you can imagine, the sad little fact is having a hard time of things these days. And he and all of his fact friends are taken by the authorities and locked in a box underground. Well, eventually some determined fact finders dig up this box and release the facts. And it's a happy day. And they all come out and proclaim that they were hoisted out of the darkness and let out the facts. A fact is a fact, they all cried out in unison. Some people chose to ignore the facts, turning their backs and walking away in a huff. But for those with minds to think and the need to know the truth, the facts could not be denied, and that's a fact.
Well, the message there seems very subtle, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's never too early. It's never too early.
All right, we're out of time, but thank you, Lily Bartels of the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York. You can find out about their great work and all of the stuff that they do that they have coming up by going to their website, which is opendoorbookstore.com, correct?
Correct.
Excellent. Lily, great to see you.
Great
Thank
to
you
see
very
you,
much.
Joe.
You can see the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.